When the people that you know don't like you, and you treasure friendships, and tune into this podcast, we're your artificial friends.
You guys have no idea how hard it is for me to tune out your horseshit that is at two different times from what I'm doing, coming back to me down the line to get that recorded. That's,
at least the guitar sounds
discipline.
Good.
That's what that is. Hey, thanks. Yeah. Welcome in, everybody. It's your artificial friends. That's the voices of Joshua J. Fligger and Lawrence Morgan.
Present.
And I'm Andy Chanley, and Sam Farmer's on assignment. Great to have you guys.
It's nice to be here.
Yeah. This is fast becoming, this tells you what my life is like. This is the highlight of my week. That's sad.
This is the most I get dressed up all week for this podcast. I guess I better put my un-ketchup stained shirt on now.
Wow, you're taking this way more seriously than I am.
So Larry, this is the only time of the week where you get to see outside city folk.
I've been on several Zooms this week, and that's pretty standard, but nowhere near as much hilarity and companionship as on this one.
Well, that's kind.
Although I did have a very weird experience this week. It was kind of mind-bending. Went to a restaurant and sat down and ate.
Outside?
Well, it was outside, yes, but we had the choice. Yeah. Just happened to be a very pleasant day. But isn't that the time we're living in where it was really weird to be sitting in a restaurant and eating food?
Yeah. Well, we did the same thing. Yeah. Well, last time we talked was last Saturday. And last Saturday night, we decided to go out. It feels like this was a couple weeks ago now, but I guess it was just last week. We went to, ironically, the same restaurant that was the last one that we went to before quarantine. Oh. And it was the first time we had gone there. And we go and we sit down and we have this meal. And it was the strangest thing to be in this restaurant.
Yeah, I'm still not there yet.
And because, you know, we were one of the first to do it, because we want to keep these businesses going, you know, we don't want to endanger anybody,
right.
But, you know, this is our neighborhood and we want these people to have a living as well. So we're sitting there eating, right? And we're in the corner restaurant on this, you know, in the corner window table, and people were walking by and some people were giving us the stink eye. Like, what do you think you're fucking doing? Don't you people know? And we're like, it was a weird experience. And you know, all the time we're doing that, people are walking back from a Black Lives Matter demonstration down the street on the corner. So, you know, people are walking signs and we're giving them all the thumbs up as they're going by. And then the next
day, the bare minimum you can. Great.
Bare minimum. You know,
while he's jamming a tamale.
Yeah, with a breadstick hanging out of his mouth.
Literally.
Go get him, guys.
Literally only lifting a finger. Yeah. Giving them the thumbs up. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And then the next day we go on a hike. We go to the Hollywood sign hike with the kids, and then afterwards they're like, can we go somewhere and eat? So we do go somewhere and we have lunch, and it's, you know, right near Ventura and Laurel Canyon, and there is a rather large demonstration there. And, you know, we honk as we go by and support, bare minimum. and we have a seat, and, you know, we're pretty much right next to the demonstration the entire time. But you know, it's the kind of thing where I don't feel comfortable taking my kids to that exactly.
Right. Oh, sure.
Yeah. You know, we want them to see it, and we want them to see that we support it, and we show, you know, that we're giving encouraging signs to the people that are doing it. But it's not an environment that I feel, not that I think that anything is necessarily going to, you know, any harm's going to come to them. But, you know, what if there are people that disagree with that viewpoint or do something?
There's always the little facet of you never know in situations like that.
And I don't want to expose the and you know, also trying to keep a little social distance. I think that if there's one flaw with the demonstrations, it's there is, you know, sometimes a little lax attention toward keeping the distance. But I think it's a very important, you know, message to get out. We went through all of our feelings on that last week. But I'm with you, Larry. Getting out and having meals in public is like walking on the fucking moon right now.
And even then, it has its own kind of strange quality to it, because the place we went and a number of these restaurants that are opening up are, to admittedly, you know, operating very differently. It was normally a sit down and, you know, wait staff comes over and takes your order kind of thing. This was go up to a counter order and then they delivered it, you know, to your, you know, they had a whole, also there's, you know, tape on the ground in the patio outside to make sure all the tables are, the, you know, the appropriate distance apart. So there is this surreal quality to it. So it's like, you know, being on the moon, but being on drugs at the same time. It's just like, oh, what's going on? But it was nice to do it. It's funny, though, you mentioned the mask thing, because now we have reached this era where things are becoming so much more relaxed that there is this kind of air of judgment going on for anybody who's not. There's the masked and the unmasked right now, and you can just sense the tension between those sides.
Yep, exactly. I mean, I get it. There's situations where you don't need a mask. I understand that, but there's also situations where you very obviously do need a mask. You know, if I'm out in a park and there's nobody within like 30 feet of me, then I don't have a problem with people not wearing a mask. But if they're out running and jogging and they approaching my area and they're enforcing their non-mask face in my area, then I do have a problem with that.
Well, I was in line at the coffee place this morning. Again, also, they have social distance lines in place. You know, they've got it clearly marked on the sidewalk where you should stand as you're waiting in the queue, and half the people not wearing nothing.
I've solved the problem.
Yep.
A government issued low voltage tasers. And everybody's allowed to carry one. And if you get within arm distance of me, I'm allowed to zap you. How's that?
That solves so many things in my life.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you just stand in line at Starbucks, somebody gets a little too close, you just reach back, hit them with a zapper. Hey, what are you going to do about it?
I got to say, Josh, most of the time, your great ideas are pure rubbish, but this one I think I could get behind on this.
Yeah, I'm a thinker, Larry.
You really are.
Step off, asshole. That's great.
No, I mean, you don't even have to say anything. Just turn around. If I can reach you without taking a step, I have the right to zap you. And it's low voltage. It'll only burn a little bit. You'll learn your lesson.
Well, here's the problem. If I had had one of those today in the line where I was waiting for coffee, not only would I have zapped the people with no mask on, but the guy in front of me, who once he had made his coffee order, said, "Hey, what kind of croissants are? Is that an almond croissant?" And once he got into the third option and
you're allowed to then.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Good. Just getting some clarity, because I would have zapped his ass immediately. Like, move it along, buddy.
Yeah.
Either know what you want or not.
Yes.
And what you do is you kneel down and you get it right at the base of the thigh.
Oh, I was going to say the back of the knee.
That's
what I'm talking about. Yeah, just like right above there, so that they buckle. You know,
exactly.
You want that hamstring to just bunch up.
Or if they're a little, you know, had a lot of fluids in the morning, you hit them right in the butt cheeks, maybe that caused them to pee their pants a little bit, maybe embarrass them in line.
Yeah. Can I tell you, Larry? I had a couple of just pure moments of joy working at the sound. This is after you left. This is when, you know, we had automation to handle, you know, what was going on. Like, I got up in the morning and I was there from 5 a.m. doing news with Uncle Joe.
Right.
And then I'd, you know, be there until 9. And then I would do the 10 at 10. And then I was on the air until 3 o'clock. So they would let me record, you know, the last couple hours of the show. And on top of that, I was doing the Rock History Notebook video. I mean, I was doing a lot of stuff there. So they let me record the last couple hours of the program. And Josh's, you know, and it was cool because the way you could record it, you know, I was basically doing it in real time, but I didn't have to listen to the middles of the songs. So like I could listen to the part I was talking over at the end and the part that I was talking over at the beginning of the next one and in between and basically do the song. And so you could compress a couple of hours down into, you know, an hour's worth of actual time. So Josh would have to go in there, being the programming assistant. We've talked about this before. Yeah,
this is just...
And he would go in and
I've never given somebody so much joy in their life, but go ahead, Andy.
He would have to write down on a log, you know, it's... for you know, legal matter, they had to write down the times that the commercials play,
right?
And also he'd have to make sure that we were still on schedule and so forth. So we go over there, and there was an intercom between the two rooms, and I could see him in there. And when I saw, he was perfectly relaxed and, you know, focused on what was going on and reading something, like really focused on it. I would press down the button and go,
yeah,
and just watch his. His wings come into the ribs, and he would just jump. I mean,
there was a couple times I physically hurt myself, like from jump. And the worst part is I didn't even know how to use the intercom, so I'd start screaming back at him, and he'd just see me. Just there would be no noise. Me just going just like
and
that.
You never saw it. Did you not get in? You know, at some point, just alert yourself and he's gonna F with me, and. Yeah.
Okay, well, first of all, there was, like, all the monitors were kind of in the way, so you couldn't, like, I either had to do my job or keep my head staring around at him the whole time, so, and I was in there for, like, a good 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes like that, so it was, like, there was, like, a time I had to work, I had to do something, and that would be the time where it's, like, I'm trying to write down copy numbers, I can't think, okay, don't get scared, and then sure enough, he you know what, he wouldn't do it every day. He'd space it out so it was like he'd time it and he'd
lull him into a sense of
exactly
of, like of complacency
I think
and safety.
Maybe he's done with this now. Maybe he's got his shits and giggles from making me jump all over.
No. Andy is well versed in the distinct timing of torture. He understands when just to let you go just so you can kind of regain consciousness just long enough.
He's got a
taste
when
you think
for
you're
it.
Safe.
Yeah, here's the great thing. When Mark in the Morning started, right? Then I was no longer, you know, doing the midday. Uncle
relevant.
Joe
were you going to say relevant?
Middays. Thank you. Uncle Joe was then doing, you know, the rest of the day. And so I wasn't, you know, in there and I didn't have the opportunity to do that to Josh any longer. But my office was right. my office was right across the hall from Josh's. And this was great because for two reasons. One, we had these little footballs. Were those Bristol Farms footballs?
No, they were. What's the grocery store? The
Bristol Farms, wasn't
it? No, it wasn't Bristol Farms. It was the other one with the green lettering. I don't know.
Oh, Whole Foods?
Yeah, I think it was Whole Foods.
Oh, okay. Hmm. So we had these little, like, you know, 4 or 5 inch footballs, and we would take it and we would throw it, Larry, across the hall. So it would go, and we're doing it blindly, right? So we don't know if somebody's walking down the hall or not. Who did I hit in the side of the head?
No, Chris Santoya, like grazed his nose hair, and the best is he just did like a startled look, and he never stopped moving. He just kept on. It's the football just shaved his upper lip, and then he went whoa, and just kept on going like nothing happened.
Anyway, so that was what we would do. Play a game where it was the longest number of completions.
And we had rules too.
Oh, yeah, there were all sorts of rules, but without it hitting the ground, I threw it to him.
No,
he caught
it. Hit the ground, but it could not exit the plane of the door leaving the room.
Oh, that's right. it had to make it into the other office. Yeah. So anyway, I think 67 was the.
I had a post that was like one of the biggest. Yeah. That was my most prized thing. It was up on my doorway. The post of how many consecutive throws we would do it. It would get up there. We literally like start getting gigglish because we'd start to get nervous because it'd be like, oh my god, we're at 64, we got 67.
Josh would say, oh my god, I got the yips, oh my god. Anyway, Daniel Mizrahi, the morning show producer, he gave me this little handheld taser. Getting back to our conversation, this is where the follow the breadcrumbs back to where this started. So he gave me this little handheld taser, and it was one of these things that you plug in to the wall, charges up, and then you have this little handheld thing that's about the size of like a pack of cigarettes.
And seriously, I just want to stop and just point out this is going on in an office environment. Somebody gives a taser and is like, here you go, Andy.
Yeah.
Go crazy.
I was just going to say, it's shocking to me that the station went off the air. I don't know. Because clearly the amount of concentration and focus you guys had on your job.
And really? This might even coincide with the time where he was trying to learn how to ride a hoverboard. And he's riding around. Riding a hoverboard, falling down in the hallway, bouncing off the wall with a taser. In his hand.
So what I would do, Larry, is I would wait to see when Josh was completely engrossed in something on his computer, 20 feet away from me, and then I would take out this taser from my drawer, and I would turn it on, and I'd look around the corner, make sure he was all busy, and I'd go, and watch him leap into the air from his chair. Yeah, now that you mention it, brandishing a weapon in a workplace.
And laughing maniacally, running away.
I mean, if that's not a hostile work environment, I don't know what is. And I think back about all of the modules of training that we had to do with that corporation for intercom. Yeah. Oh, God. It's incessant.
Yeah.
And if they would have only known, there would be a module for not using tasers in the workplace to frighten coworkers. The fact that all of that happened and there were never charges pressed. Josh, you're a true friend.
Are you guys jumpy at all? Do you get jumpy? Like, do you scare easily?
Yeah, I do. I do. And it has happened several times. And I also, there is a physicality to it. Here's what happens. I usually get up really stupid early these days. And I kind of have the house to myself for a long time. And Alex, who has essentially kind of his own separate outbuilding, basically, but comes in to use the kitchen and stuff in the morning. I never know when he's going to be up and around or when he's going to come in and start making coffee for himself or whatever. So I can be in a different part of the house, turn the corner, and the house is just, this new house we're in is really quiet and everything's carpeted. And there was one day where I just turned a corner and there was this big hulking hairy beast that had giant bed hair because he hasn't had a haircut in 3 months. And I literally did this it looks like something that Dick Van Dyke would have done in a dance number in Mary Poppins.
My limbs kind of
went floppy, and I kind of leaped up in the air, and he started just laughing at me because it was such a physical reaction. And the answer is I'm quite yippy.
I think this is how jumpy I am. I wear a CPAP mask, right?
Right.
And right at the nose, there's like a not a valve, but it's just like a joint that's like an L shape, so it's plastic and solid, so it bends the hose down, right? And now this thing can spin around. Well, not once, not twice, but probably three or four times in my life, I've woken up on my side with that L joint turned around facing straight up and opened my eyes in the middle of the night and thought a man was standing there and just started flat and just like did a yelp and like scissor kick and arm wing flapped until I realized that it was attached to my face. Yeah.
I attacked a man in the middle of the night until I realized it was my own face.
Where's the bell?
Sounds crazy when you say it out loud, doesn't it?
And it's happened more than once.
Oh, good God. Larry, you just mentioned it a little bit ago. It was crazy, crazy world, getting out and going to things again, going to restaurants again. And yes, this week went into the radio station and actually broadcast from the radio station. It was last night, as a matter of fact. And it was crazy. It was surreal. The place was practically empty. Just felt like, I don't know, somebody had died or something. Yeah. It was so, so weird.
Did you remember how to do stuff? Would it feel weird?
You like have to
operating the going, oh yeah, this does that and this does that. Because I've been in the radio station twice in 3 months and had to relearn the process because it's very different than tracking from home. It's a completely different way of working.
Yeah, you'd have to ask, people who were listening.
I was definitely listening.
well, then
Yeah, I've got some notes.
But it was absolutely crazy, being in there and experiencing all that stuff. I got to tell you, though, the first couple of songs that I talked into, hit the post on them. And I was like, yeah, that's how you do it, people. Feel that? but it was pretty great. And people overwhelmed me. Calling in, or not calling in, because you can't call in, but, dialing up, 88.5 FM website and making donations. And we were going for a certain number because Ringo Starr is a fan of the radio station.
Yes.
And was matching donations. And people met the goal. And it was just really, because I know there's so many people that are out of work, so many people that are, on furlough, and times are tough and things are uncertain and all this, but they still, were prioritizing that. And that melted my heart. And it was a pretty, pretty moving experience, actually, to read their comments. One guy made a huge donation, like a $500 donation. And I was reading his thing. He lived in St. Louis, and he said, I live in St. Louis, but my son and his fiance and his wife live in Studio City, and they turned me on to your radio station, and I've been listening ever since. I really love it. My son passed away from cancer on Memorial Day, so this is in his honor. I'm like, I read that for the first time out loud on the station, and I had to go to song. I couldn't cut my way through it. It was really moving. But that kind of thing, to have people that care about that, and just having that contact with people again, that feel, that immediacy, that feel that I'm right there at the mothership and talking to them, and they're listening, and whatever they're doing. It was really, really cool. It was food for the soul. I really needed that.
Nice.
Well, I stayed home and worked on my computer for a week. So thanks for reminding me that sucks. Yeah.
I took at least 2 showers this week, so I had a pretty special week too, Andy.
Nice. Well done, fellas. Mm-hmm. Way to raise the discourse and raise the bar. That's some good stuff. I got to tell you, I've been thinking all week about the summer songs.
Oh, me too.
So summery.
It's funny you say that, because I was thinking, I had so much fun doing that, I almost want us to do a topic once a month or something.
I know. And you know what I thought about? I thought about maybe this week we could do... are the songs that are the least summery possible. And I thought it would be easy on you, Larry, because my answer would be the 2 that Josh picked last week.
Oh, It's funny because
you guys just pick a topic for songs, and then I'll just come in with two effed up songs that I listened to in my life.
or it's the same two songs every time. It's always "Don't Ask Me Why" and "Man in the Box."
Well, she's always a woman to me, and if I could, I would. But Alice in Chains.
Well, see, I was going to say what about the category of songs that sent you into that you reflected the deep depression you had one summer, and that would be Andy's two songs that he picked.
Yes.
No, we should. It's kind of dumb. We haven't thought about it before, but we should do a regular music category, not something every week, but you know.
How about we open it up to the listeners?
Yeah,
we'll make it a bit. Our two songs, and they email us or whatever with topics, and we'll come in. We'll read the topic, and the next
week
curate
the topics. Yeah, I love that.
I've got one for the next one.
All right,
favorite.
The next one we do. It'll be around the 4th of July pretty soon, right?
Uh-huh. Yep.
My thought would be we do the most 4th of July-y.
Have you ever heard of Man song. In the Box? Because I remember listening to that in a car on 4th of July in the summer.
Feel very patriotic when I hear that song.
Yeah.
Most 4th of July. Okay, maybe we need to refine the categories a little bit.
Yes. I'd like to do Katy Perry's Firework. And this is going to be out on what? On the 18th? Is that the Thursday? Is this next Thursday?
Yes. Yep. Yes, sir.
So as people are hearing this on Thursday, if God forbid, you know, we're able to actually put one together. seriously, because I forgot to press the Zoom record button.
I saw it all of a sudden come on. I'm like, he's not acknowledging it. He hasn't said anything yet.
Yeah, he's trying to be cool about it. Yeah. So I'm trusting that you guys are recording.
One thing I learned about this, am I recording my part, but I'm recording all the audio at the same time. I've got a backup to the backup because you know why? Because I know my cohort.
I'm just sitting there. I think it was like in the middle of one of your stories, Larry, and all of a sudden this big red record icon comes on. I'm like, did that just come on? It had to just come on because I don't remember seeing that before.
Can I tell you guys something? It's not just you. I remember I had technical difficulty trying to connect to somebody I was doing a Zoom recording with for the radio station. There was the Watkins family, Sarah and Sean Watkins. Had technical difficulties, and you know we couldn't get connected on Zoom, and then finally we do, and they're so cool. They're just the two sweetest people in the world. And I ask them a question, and it sucked because they're like, I said, hey, thanks for doing this. And like, oh, you kidding? We love the radio station. It's fantastic. It's really great. That's our favorite radio station in town. It's, you know, really awesome, and you know, glad to talk to you and so forth. And I ask them the first question, and we talk about some, like 30 seconds into her answer, I'm like, hey, I'm going to stop you right there.
Oh, no.
Because I forgot to press this button here and missed the beginning of her answer and all of the wonderful things they said about the station that they probably wanted to take back at that point. So it's not just you guys. Everybody gets hits with my dipshit stick. But getting back to the point, So this weekend coming up is Father's Day weekend.
Indeed.
Oh, yeah.
And we're all fathers as far
yes,
as we know.
Are.
We're all fathers.
I still am.
At least once.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if you had any hopes or dreams. I would assume you're, you know, not controlling
crushed.
Enough to tell people what they're going to do for your Father's Day. But do you have any wishes, any desires, anything you've requested from the people around you or that they have come to expect for Father's Day, like to let you sleep in or this or that?
No eye contact.
Nice.
For the whole day, no eye contact. I usually wait till closer to the time because every time I pick something ahead of time, by the time, like if I want to do something, to say I want to do this on Father's Day, when it comes around that morning, I'm like, I don't want to fucking do that today. So I'm usually like like the Friday or Saturday before, like, let's go here and try to do something. So I don't know. I haven't thought about it yet.
Yeah. I feel like I'm going to request that I get to be very inactive. So I don't have to cancel anything, Josh, because I decide right up front I'm not going to do anything at all. I believe that my Father's Day will be much like Charlo's Mother's Day, which is Alex will be back in town. He's going to come back in to hang with us that weekend. He gets to cook breakfast, his choice, whatever he wants to make for me. And then Charlo's going to make a nice dinner that night. And everything in between is probably me on the couch watching The Great Escape for like the 40th time in my life, or something, you know, nice and fatherly like that, really on brand. And there's going to be a nap in there, and no shower that day.
What about dinner? What are you going to?
No, that's Charlotte's going to do that. I trust her on that. She knows.
She chooses.
Yeah, I don't. She usually likes to come up with something new, so I'm always willing to go with that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear an actual conversation that went on in our house about Father's Day?
Sure. I do.
My wife goes, Josh, what do you want to do for Father's Day, you know, next week? And I said, I don't know. What do you want to do? I just said, I don't know. What do you want to do? And just I didn't even think about it. And she's just like, well, it's Father's Day. So, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's my day, huh? So.
That's on me. All right. Boy.
I wish I had a whip sound effect on here somewhere. Boy, that was just an involuntary reaction you had there, wasn't it?
Well, I think I was watching a sports movie. I watched a documentary on foosball the other day.
Oh, Jesus.
It was amazing. Andy, what do you want to do for Father's Day?
I don't want to watch a documentary on foosball.
Why not?
Boy, you're really hurting for live entertainment, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait for hockey, man. I need some live sports.
Watching a foosball documentary, Born to Be Wild. Dude,
you should have seen the amount of orange Sunkist these guys drink. There's one dude that wore nothing but Kiss t-shirts. That was awesome. Jeez. I'm gonna party with those guys.
Wow. Here's what I expect. I expect it's going to be something like, I will get to sleep in a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, but like 8 o'clock is what I mean. Like, you know, I won't have to get up at 7 or 6:30. So, you know, get to sleep in 8, maybe 8:30. And at that point I will be awakened by my wife and children. And they will, if past experiences are any indication, I certainly don't expect it, but I would hope there's a homemade card from my children and a cup of coffee, maybe a mimosa.
Ooh.
Like those, when those are delivered to the bed, that's all right.
Yeah.
And then an announcement about the day. I'm usually asked, you know, what I want to do, and I'm like,
what do you want to do?
Yeah, and so it will be some sort of breakfast, but then I would imagine there will, it looks like at this point the coast will still be clear, some sort of meal out and about at a dining establishment under, quarantine precautions. So I'm buoyed by the prospect of it. It's going to be lovely.
Oh, well, yeah. Something the three of us have in common, very unimaginative and boring when it comes to these particular days.
I have a feeling for the amount that I put into Mother's Day now.
Sauce for the goose. Huh?
The tides have turned, so I'm not looking forward to very much.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, fellas, there is a YAF line call.
Oh, just one? That, soul? Singular?
Oh, you know what? Mm-hmm. No, there are three of them.
What?
Wow.
Count them, three. Let's, three calls.
Let's dig in.
The phone number is 626-657-6428.
What?
You did it.
Is that
right?
I just did that from memory.
No, you did not. You're staring at, you're reading something right in front of you. No.
I'm looking right at you.
I'm looking at your eyes.
626-657-6428. 626-657-6428.
I don't believe him, Josh. I don't.
Here's the thing. How about close your eyes? No, yeah, 626-657-6428. Here's the thing. Let me check, because I'm not sure that's right.
It sounds right.
Well, we'll see if we get any calls next week.
Yeah, I was right. I remembered it. After 3.5 years, I remember it.
We've been doing this for 3.5 years?
No, how long have we been doing it? 2.5?
It feels like three and a half.
It's been six months.
Well, it was October of 2017. It was a month before the station went off, right?
Right.
So this October, it'll be 3 freaking years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Anywho, we got a few 626-657-6428.
You're pushing your luck now.
Yeah. Or
now it just won't stop.
The mnemonic device is O, the letter O, uh-huh. Amok, PM, hat.
Amok.
Amok. Amok. Let's see. I got a phone call here to share with you. Let's get started.
Hey, guys. It's John from the East Coast. Hope you're all well. Just listened to this week's show, and let me apologize right away. Quote, unquote, don't ask me why I'm doing this. Quote, unquote, I'm a man thinking outside the box. But I really think that you guys had an opportunity slipped by last week when we had the opportunity to offer up Josh, have all the yappers send him Dick Van Dyke pics. So I think this week that's what all the yappers should do, is just flood his mailbox with some photos of one of the all-time great actors and showmen, I guess, of our time, and I think that would be pretty funny. Anyway, that's it. If Sam is there, I do want to congratulate him on his daughter's high school graduation.
Yeah.
And that's about it. Thanks a lot, guys. Take care.
Nice. Congratulations to Paige for graduating. It would be sad if Paige just graduated high school.
You know, some people have to do it later in life, I guess.
she graduated this week. And kind of a, you know, it's a weird situation, these graduations that are happening.
Yeah.
Kids, you know, the school they go to, they had a little car parade where they went by and the teachers were outside the cars waving with masks on. It's just fucking bizarre. But
you know, I want to give a little shout out real quick. My niece, Emily, graduated last week and was the valedictorian, and she got to give the speech, and we got to watch it on YouTube last Friday, and I just wanted to say congratulations.
Well, but she was valedictorian.
There's an actual Fligger that was a valedictorian. But
she was valedictorian of Little Tykes Preschool in Butler, Pennsylvania.
She's going to Ohio State.
Nice.
Yep. So good for her.
No, I've got a congratulations to my niece, Megan, who just graduated from UCLA Nursing School as a nurse practitioner, which is tough sledding while you're also working at the same time. And she had her graduation ceremony today as we record this.
Cool.
All online. And, so congratulations to Megan.
Well, I want to congratulate my second cousin, Dwayne, in Springfield, Missouri. He was just granted parole after trying for 6 times and being turned down.
Well, there you go. That's a nice, that's a matriculation of sorts.
No, I just don't have anybody to congratulate.
That's all right.
I want to congratulate you on memorizing the phone number for today.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
thanks, guys.
There you go. You're the valedictorian of this podcast, buddy.
Absolutely.
I want to have a little car parade for it.
I want you to give a speech. But wait till we're done recording.
Yes.
Speech. All right, got another phone call here. Let's see who it is.
All right.
Yo, guys, it's Trucker Joe. Anyways, I haven't talked to you in a while, and I thought I should check in. Means you got no callers last week. You know, I was listening to that episode, and then I got out of my truck. So when I came back, there was only a few minutes left, and I thought, should I start the next episode? And then I decided to finish it out, and I'm glad I did, because I would have missed Snaggle, to talk about Snaggle.
if I'd have just moved on to the next episode. And I'd have missed Andy saying that he dated a woman who snagged a puss once. And the funny part of that was his next comment, which was, I don't know what that means. Anyways, hey, I hope you guys are doing good. I hope you're not going too crazy, still stuck at home. And thank you for doing what you do. And hopefully we'll have all four of you in the room again sometime soon.
Someday.
All right, guys. Take care. Love you. Bye.
Yeah.
That guy's awesome.
Yeah.
Trucker Joe, man. Why does the sound of his truck horn just make me so happy every time?
Oh, I know. It's like just hearing it just brings an instant smile to my face.
Absolutely.
And it's a worthy question, you know, that he's asking there about the possibility of, you know, us being several feet apart from each other at some point.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried about Josh's mucus output, but
you guys are cutting it out. I don't know what the hell you said.
We were talking about your mucus output, Josh. Okay.
Hey, my punk man, mucus output. Go ahead.
I love it. Yeah, it's all for the best that cut out. No, but you know, sometime I could maybe even put the table outside and we could be a little bit further apart.
Let's just set up. I say we set up four tables like 12 feet apart.
That's it. With squirt guns.
Exactly. Yeah. We'll set them up around the pool with the pool in between us to keep us as a barrier. I think that's great.
I love it.
Yep, each other.
I love it. Oh, by the way, you guys know what I'm doing after I get done with this podcast?
Jumping in the pool like a jerk.
No. Mm-hmm. I'm going back out to continue prepping my pergola for paint.
Oh,
gotta do a paint prep pergola. Pergola prep paint.
Right. Okay, Faja, whatever.
It alliterates. It's my Faja's Faja. Okay, we got one more phone call here. But to play this, I've got to play this.
Low energy bike. Bart. Low energy bike.
There we go. All right. Who's ready? Let's jump right in here.
Hey, Yappers. This is Low Energy Mike from Northeastern Oregon. This week started out with replacing a washed out culvert. The original one was a 24-inch diameter. It had been in place for about 12 years. It just wasn't big enough for the 100-year floods that we've been having the last couple of years. The new one is a 48-inch diameter. And if it can't handle the volume of water, there'll be more problems than a washed-out driveway.
They always say.
Tuesday, we rocked the golf bin. Wednesday was base and prep for a paver patio. We used quarter-inch minus for the top course. Man, that stuff's nice to work with.
Yeah.
Thursday and Friday was dig and install 8 and 6 inch irrigation mainline from the pump bed, starting with an 8 inch steel gooseneck to gasketed pipe, about 400 feet in a creek crossing. The creek crossing was above ground steel pipe with a couple of goosenecks all bolted together. Not a bad week for a ditch digging man.
Not bad.
Talk to you later.
Yeah.
Nice. A lot of goosenecks.
Hey, you guys, would you like to see my 8-inch gooseneck?
That's a very goosenecky message right there.
wait. We got to play this.
Right.
That was Low Energy Mike. That was Low Energy Mike.
Yeah, I love that. Alex, tell him. That just brings joy to me every time
yes.
I hear it.
Yes.
That was fun. Catching up on phone calls. Once again, that number is 626-657-6428.
Oh, he's gotten so arrogant about it now.
I know. Now he's got to smirk when he says it.
Amok PM hat.
After weeks of drought, now it's a flood of smug. Oh, exactly. Look what I know. I have something memorized.
Hey, 20 bucks says he forgets the song.
I remember 10 numbers.
$20 says he forgets the chords to the song at the end of the show.
Shut up. You shut up. I might.
Yeah.
I don't know
why we would ever decide to get back together again when it's taken this long for us to figure out how to do this and things are going relatively well. I don't know. Do we want to actually be physically back around each other and just find new ways to fuck this thing up?
Well, It's true. Well, and the other part is that, Larry, you live, you know, in Timbuktu now. So,
right. Well, and,
it's not like you're just across the street.
And there's no indication, although I will be back. They want me to do mornings filling in for a couple of weeks. But right now, my company has zero plans to get back into the building until likely September, I think.
Really? Yeah. So is everybody broadcasting from home?
The morning, there are two morning shows that have gone back in, and that's all they're allowing right now because those shows really wanted to take advantage. They specifically said they wanted to go back, and everybody else can function just fine. So literally everybody else is doing their show remotely except for two morning shows.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say the university, they have no intentions to have anybody back anytime soon. So, yeah, the same thing's kind of happening on our end. What you're talking about Premier?
Yeah, it sounds like they're just going to let they're letting the building, like the managers decide. You know what I mean? They're just kind of leaving it up to a building by building base, whoever, how they want to handle it. They're not making like a company wide. Everybody has to do this. They're just kind of, it sounds like they're just going to be like, you know, you handle that decision. You make that decision. So that,
yeah. And when you go back, Josh, not that you ever leave your, 25-foot radius of your cubicle, but when you get back, there's literally a whole floor that they have vacated in that time since you've been gone.
Well, when I get back, I'm just going to stare. I'm going to spend the first couple hours probably staring at Rush Limbaugh on the wall. Yeah. And then I'm going to take my silent, beautiful gaze from him and move it over to Ryan Seacrest for a little bit. And then I'll probably follow that up with a little bit of Nancy Grace. But go ahead.
Yeah, y'all got some catching up to do. That's for sure. Hey, that's what you need to send Josh, pictures of Rush Limbaugh, Ryan Seacrest, and Nancy Grace. What's your email address again, Josh? That would be the perfect time.
JoshuaJFlinger@gmail.com.
There you go.
Yeah.
I think Nancy Grace has such a friendly smile.
Yeah, she does. Yeah. She's got fun hair.
Yeah.
You just feel like you want to give her a big old hug, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
She looks like your mom's really kind of funny friend. Right? You know, like she's kind of the cool mom friend, you know. The one that maybe like says a swear word and gives you a wink when mom isn't looking, you know. You're like,
yeah.
Ah.
The one who says, "Hey, Frida, let's get together and drink a bottle of green grasshopper. What do you say? Let's get some liqueur. You know, we'll sit around with some ice and we'll just chew the bull."
Oh, don't talk about alcohol again. We're watching Phil Rosenthal, who has the show Somebody Feed Phil on Netflix. A new season went up. Went to Duke's in London, where they make the world's best martini, and I sat there watching the step-by-step process of pouring this beautiful gin martini, and saliva's running down the front of my face. Like, I want one of those so bad. I might have a problem in that I want one of those so bad.
Oh. Father's Day. Father's Day.
You know.
Yeah.
You know,
there was a time to dally. For a dalliance, I think Father's Day.
I want a dilly and dally. That's what.
Does Nancy Grace look exactly like that medium from New Jersey? You know what I'm talking about? That lady that talks to ghosts. That's just a big sham, but she's on TV from New Jersey. Okay, think about it, people.
You kind of have a thing for Nancy Grace.
She's like A&E. There's like some. I think it's A&E's. It's like I don't want to say it's a Hollywood medium because that's not it. It's like some other. It's like the Jersey medium, Jersey whatever. She talks to stupid ghosts and brings up, "Oh, your uncle, yeah, he's here." Blah, 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 does that, but they look exactly the same. They have the most awesome mom friend's haircut of all time.
I want to show Nancy Grace my 8-inch gooseneck.
Oh God.
Hey, how can people get a hold of you, Larry? By your 8-inch gooseneck?
If you would, give it a tug at on Instagram, maybe. That would be the Larry Morgan, the Larry Morgan.
Nice. Joshy?
I already said it. I'll do it again. JoshuaJFlinger@gmail.com.
That's where you send your dick shots.
And can you remember your three?
Yeah, I'm Andy Chanley on Instagram.
Okay.
I'm Andy_Chanley on Twitter and DJ Andy Chanley on Facebook.
Nice.
626-657-6428. When the people that you know don't like you.
And
tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
What happened?
It's just the clusterfuck of a delay on that thing.
We go in with confidence, and then it's like all it takes is like 1.5 seconds, and it just turns into an effing train wreck immediately. We started, I'm like, I'm gonna do this, and all of a sudden it goes, nope. No, you're not.
But you two are my favorite train wreck I know.
Oh, thank you.
Larry. Yeah,
thought I'd end on a positive note today.
Bye-bye, everybody. Bye-bye. Love you. Happy Father's Day.
Nice.